You may take your seat this morning. Do me a favor, as you're taking your seat, would you do me a big favor and turn to Daniel chapter 9? There's some Bibles in front of you, behind you, next to you. Daniel 9, as you find it, give a good smile to somebody next to you and say, I found it before you. Daniel 9. I want you to see the title. I did say that I would spend a couple of messages helping the body of Christ pretty much answer this question. When is Jesus coming back? So as believers, one of our hope is that Jesus comes back during maybe our life, or maybe even after, because according to the Bible, we live forever and forever and forever. Amen? So eternity really is long, especially near the end. As we know that our life compared to eternity is just a small season. It's not long, kind of like a blink of an eye. That's how long our lives on earth compared to eternity. We have been spending quality time in the book of Daniel. We spend the first six chapters where Daniel speaks about how to influence in a world, in a culture that is really falling apart. And I'm looking around. Many of us have been on this earth for a pretty good time. And we've noticed technology is getting faster and quicker. That's what Daniel says, that the increase of knowledge and wisdom. You buy a phone and tomorrow it's outdated. That's why we keep those flip phones for a little longer than norm. But the second part of Daniel, he begins to speak about the signs of the time. That's where I want to take a moment. Pastor, I'm really going through a difficult time. I'm having a hard time serving the Lord. I don't know how this message can help me, and I'm really here to tell you, believe me when I tell you, these thoughts, these words are a great benefit for you right where you are. And so what we do know is that we've been on this earth for a while. We know that the world is kind of falling apart. But somehow we get a vision and a dream from the Spirit of God that wiser. So what we do know is that about the coming of the Lord, the scripture tells us very clearly that there's really only one, and I just use the terminology, person that knows when Jesus is coming, that's the Father. Period, not a comma. And so what we do understand is that the disciples of Jesus Christ, in Matthew 24, and I don't want you to address it, I want you to kind of take notice and note about what the disciples were asking Jesus Christ. And they kind of got a little wiser, and only the Father knows. So they begin to ask Jesus different questions. What will be the signs of the time when you will return? And so Jesus began to give a nice list of what it may look like. But I do want to tell you, my grandmother, who just passed away this year, was 94 years old. And since I was a little boy, she would always say, Hito, Jesus is coming. And if you don't know what Hito means, it basically means son. Jesus is coming. I'll be 58 years 58 years old this year, and if anything is exciting me and getting me prepared and ready is that there are some very clear signs. And I told the young kids that went to conference, and I looked at each one of them, and I said, if Jesus doesn't return in the next 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, the baton's going to be given to you. The mantle is going to be given to you. And God is looking for people in the end times that are going to be solid, won't compromise, like Daniel, this word, this Bible, this authority, this anointing that is in the word. This, the only one that can bring this word alive is a believer that begins to believe it. And once you and I begin to believe this word, our lives will never be the same. It'll change. It'll get better. But I want you to see the connection as Jesus began to answer the question of the disciples. And he basically said to them that there are some simple little things. And one of the things that stands out in Matthew 24 is that you will begin to see the increase of wickedness. Y'all look at me just for a moment. I ask that you do that because please remember we cannot, as believers, distinguish what we think is good or what is bad, or what is evil. Just remember, Almighty God has already established that. If God says that it is, then it is. We can't change that. And I don't want to change that. I want to be honest and pure and real about the things of God and also understanding about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also says there's going to be a great falling away. You and I know people who started this race with Jesus and somehow they did not finish. But God is in the business to make sure that those who started this race will finish well. He wants to give you the power and the authority and the insight how to finish this course and how to really go forward. And one of the things that really stands out is that this world needs to hear this good news. Somebody say good news. This world needs to hear the good news. And I want to encourage you this morning that one of the greatest, and I love missionaries, and I adore them, and I pray for them, and I help them out. But I just want to say this, man, Pueblo is a really good missionary field. Our neighborhood really does need Jesus. Our community really does need Jesus, even though it needs some improvement in the natural. But again, what we really need is to improve what's going on in our hearts. There's a lot of evidence in the book of Daniel about the end times. I want you to think about this for a moment. Daniel is the most quoted source in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation is not something to fear. For us, it's good news. It's excitement. I can't connect with that, Pastor. I'm not understanding what you're saying. What I'm saying is that in the end times, the body of Christ will find its place where the fulfillment of what Jesus says, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the body of Christ. Somehow we will become overcomers and we'll continue to win and we'll continue to understand how powerful God's faithfulness is in our lives. I also know that in the Old Testament, a lot of great men of God like Isaiah and Micah and great men that talked about the end times, about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's very powerful. And here's what we know, that the first six chapters of Daniel 6, we reveal what we call a prophetic dream and visions that are real. And I'm being reminded by the Spirit of God that he said that in the end times, I want to pour out my spirit like no other. I want to be able to do that to those who want to finish well. And again, we say, Pastor, you just said that there's going to be a great falling away, and there are people who are going to say to themselves and to others that this Bible and Jesus and the authority and the anointing is fable. It's not real, and you can change it. And God is just looking for some vessels that will have a testimony that I've been set free by this word and by Jesus Christ. So we see that. And we understand the future, and we know that what is going on today is that there's just so many different speculations and interpretations and understanding. And that doesn't bother me. And I really don't care. But what I do care is that there's only one person that knows when Jesus is coming, and that's the Father. Not everybody will agree with the interpretations from Genesis to Revelation or the book of Revelation. And I just want you to know the book of Revelation is exciting times for the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. But Daniel does something in Daniel chapter 9. If you're there, say amen. And I want you to see that first verse, 24. And I want you to see those few words because they play a very significant understanding and excitement and revelation so that you and I could go forward and not worried about, well, you know what, nobody can agree, and how do we study the end times? And I just know that everything is going to pan out and everything is going to work out just like your life. The scripture says that he is able to give you and I exceeding abundantly of what we think and ask or think. So what comes out of your mouth and what you think is very powerful, because there is a spirit, there's a power that is working in each one of us. And so if God is concerned about what we ask and what we think, you and I need to take concern of that, because what we think and what we ask is very powerful, and he sets the stage so that we can be overcomers and that we can win in the body of Christ. And so here's what I like for you to understand, the cross-reference back and forth. And no matter when Jesus comes, he does ask us to do something very important. He asks us to be ready. Someone said, live like you know he's coming tomorrow, and work, everybody say work, like he's coming in a week. Good model, good understanding. But I want to go deep, if I can, this morning. I want to open your eyes and look at some things a little differently. If I excite you, then I know I did my job. But if I make you think, then I think that's really good. But if you put your walls up and you close your, because of whatever you've learned 50,000 years ago, I just want you to know that God wants to give the body of Christ new revelation, new anointing, some new stuff, something that will last, not something that is temporary, not something that will get us excited emotionally, but something where we understand that the journey of God is where he does the breakthroughs. He goes along with you no matter what trial, tribulation, or difficult, or sickness, or whatever's going on. He's right with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I want you to see this morning, the multiplication test. I want to give you a test. Many of you know that my highest grade was a D+, and I graduated from high school. Somebody say amen to that. And I always say, those A pluses and the D minuses, they got the same diploma. I graduated in 1979 from South High. So why South High? Well, I should have went to the other school, but you know, when you grew up in the projects and you walk out your door and you look to the left, 2 miles, 2.6 miles to that school and a half mile to that school, I guess I'm going to that school. That's how I ended up at South. The multiplication test. I want you to see something here, because I want you to look at Daniel 9, verse 24, and it plays a part of where you are. Even though you're saying, well, Pastor, the increase of everything. And I said, and I'll say it again, it doesn't matter who is in office. What matters is that the body of Christ realizes and opens their eyes that they're more powerful than any nation in the world. In the world. The body of Christ is not a physical element. It is a spiritual element. Your battles and your warfares are not carnal. They are a spiritual realm. God is looking for spiritual people that will respond spiritually. We're so emotional intact that we get distracted and we never get to see the hand of God and the move of God because we're still kind of going in circles. The Bible calls it the wilderness, and God wants us to walk in His promises. Amen. Daniel foretold the coming of the Messiah. What you're going to see is more and more Jewish people know Jesus. And you're going to see more and more other people know Jesus. But the core and the center of all of this, as you know, is what's going on with the Jewish people. But Daniel foretold the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, the one that would come and rescue His people from their sins. See, sin, again, it can only be defined what the Bible says is sin. I think the greatest sins out there is fear and unbelief. And the enemy says, if I can just put that false, evidence appearing real in a person's life, I got him. I'll embrace that. But as you understand and you've been here long enough, is that God gave us all a revelation about how to put on the armor of God. And you put the armor of God because you are in a spiritual battle. You're not in a physical battle. So if you're stuck in a physical battle, it's because you're not winning in the spiritual battle. And I said to the body of Christ, as you put on Jesus every day, you start from the top and work yourself down. You put on the helmet of salvation. What comes with that? Jesus has already provided everything you need. And the doubt and the fear stops us from that. And we don't get to get excited about our lives and helping others find Jesus. We're stuck. The breastplate of righteousness, not your righteousness, God's righteousness. Ours is as filthy as rags. Truth, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, that wherever we go, we present peace. And I asked them to put their hands down, and the left side is the shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. People are using their own brain and their own emotion to fight that battle. It is your faith. That's why if you want to please God, it starts and begins with faith. That means believing the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. As it is written, every man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That number 7 is powerful, and you're going to see that. You saw that right there in Daniel 9:24. You see that word 7, which represents perfection, completeness. And that's why there's 7 weapons. And you say, well, Pastor, you only gave me 6. The other one says, pray always in the Spirit. Anybody can pray in the flesh, but who can pray in the Spirit? Pastor, are you getting out of track this morning? No, I just want to make sure that what I'm going to give you next, you get a revelation, you get an understanding. These are exciting times, but when God does things, He does it in order and He does it right. So here, the second part of Daniel, we see very clearly a prophetic vision. You are very important to God. God is the one that's drawing you. No music, no preaching, no studies, none of that can draw you to God. Only God Himself can draw you to Himself. So as I begin to explain Daniel 9, verse 24, I hope you get this revelation. So we see by call 77s. So the word 70 is straight for what it means, 70. Remember, I went to school and 1 + 1 = 3. I got that right. So I began to look at that word 70. It comes from a Hebrew word that literally means a period of time based on 7 increments. Make a note of that, would you please? 7 increments. Just remember that, because it's going to come back and haunt you or bless you. And so what we do know is that You and I can never blame anyone in your life. The enemy would just want to just that you stay resentful, hurt, mad for the rest of your life. Good people can give you happiness. Bad people can give you an experience. Worse people can give you a lesson. But the best people can give you good memories. So the original translation, which the word meant weak, that's what everybody thought for years, and some still do it, but I want to give you a different perspective. I want to give you a different view. I want to give you a different understanding. But in the context of history, Daniel is describing periods of 7 years. Somebody say 7 years. When God does something or wants to say something, he gets our attention every 7 years. The book of Revelation is about 7 years. Okay? And so, as we summarize this, regarding the future comes by understanding 70 different seven-year period. So I got my calculation out. Calculator, excuse me. And using my skills that I have, we see that Daniel prophetically revealed 490 years. Okay? That means Daniel saw 77 years of future events. Here's how I would describe the 77s. It's very interesting about Daniel's list of signs, and all of them have been fulfilled in different generations. Well, multitude of generations have experienced various signs. There's not one generation who has experienced all of them at the same time. Get this. Until now. Let me explain. Give me a moment. Give me a chance. Our generation is the first one in which this is the case. You and I are alive during a time when all these biblical prophetic signs are being fulfilled at the same time. This is my base of believing. Not only are we at the end times, but we really are at the end of times. And here's how I summarize it, the key passage of Daniel 9, verse 24 through 27. Daniel saw a 77-year period, a total of 490 years of prophecy. And out of these, 96 of these 77-year periods have already been fulfilled. Somebody say amen to that. I mean, it's already been according to history. In other words, 483 of the 490 years of future events Daniel saw in the vision have already transpired. Only the last seven-year period remains. So these are exciting times for the body of Christ. I said, what about the Antichrist? Well, what about the Antichrist? He don't scare me. Fear and unbelief bothers me. What about the world falling apart? How about the seven, 3.5 years of peace, or the 3.5 years? All I know is that Jesus is coming. And I said to you last week, I do believe in the rapture. I just don't know when. But we're going to meet everybody in the sky. The coming of the Lord is when he put his feet on the ground. But when he's coming back and put his feet on the ground, he said there's an army coming back with him. And the Bible says, and we have to take a look at who that army is. And some say that Armageddon war, now this is what I've read in the past, is that battle, when it's over, the blood is going to run about 168 miles, as high as the bridle of a horse. And so I decided to kind of do some of my multiplication, my 1 + 1 = 3 situation. And I realized that blood is going to run from here to as far as Boulder, that high. Interesting, but I just, that's a little side note, just to kind of let you know, these are exciting times. So I said all of that to allow you to take a moment with me. All these things Daniel prophesied about is in the first 483 years. Remember, every one was 7 years. For example, he predicted Alexander the Great. Study him. They say he was one of the most powerful leaders. He died young. And if you know what he died of, then you got good information. Daniel could foresee the king coming from the Greeks. He saw the Roman Empire taken over. He described it all the years before it came into hand and played exactly like he saw it. He saw the spotlight of the view of the last seven-year period. Do I think we're entered it, the last seven-year period? No, it can start next year, it can start 10 years, it can start 20 years, but it don't matter, we got to be ready. We know that the only thing that is left is the book of Revelation. And if you know anything about the book of Revelation, okay, just one thing about the book of Revelation, that you know that at the end, you win. That's what it tells me, is that we win. Now listen, now let me tell you why you're so crucial and so important to the things of God, okay? You can either get excited about it or you can miss it, but he wants to use you. Amen? He wants to use you. Because if you're not ready to be used, the Bible tells me he's got a backup. He's got a backup. He's got a backup. Y'all know what the backup is? It's called a rock. That the rocks will cry out if we don't cry out and begin to praise him and begin to worship for who he is. Now, do you want a rock to take your place? No. Not today, Junior. I made a commitment that back about this time last year, if you've been with me this long, God began to awaken our soul in our spirit and began to say, you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to use you like never before. You'll go through some trials and tribulation, but it's through the journey where I want you to experience the breakthrough in your life. Do I believe it's close? Let me tell you why. Because this prophetic has been in place of this prophecy and has been fulfilled and has been set to return of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, my friend, God is in control and his timing is perfect. That word is for someone this morning. God is in control and his timing is perfect. Daniel talked about it. Jesus talked about it. Paul talked about it. Peter talked about it. The entire book of Revelation focuses on John's vision. He saw the last 7 years of tribulation. I'm convinced we have reached the beginning of the end. Again, can be a year from now, 20 years from now, but that seven-year period is very powerful and real. Let me leave you with this. I want you to see this up there too. Infinity and beyond. I want to leave you with this verse, and I want you to actually read it with me. Would you go there real quick? Second Peter chapter 3. I want you to all read this verse with me. I'm going to follow you. Second Peter, when you have it, give a good smile. Actually, tell that person next to you, see, I told you I was faster than you. Second Peter. I think you're all faster than me. When you have it, say amen. Yes, I'm getting it. At my age, I'm just getting a little slower. There we go. Second Peter chapter 3. I want you to read this with me. Okay, I want to close my thoughts. I apologize. I won't be able to. I don't want to rush this message. I will finish this message next Sunday. And I want you to see firsthand why these are exciting times. They're not doomsday times for the body of Christ. Even though there's going to be persecution, there's people who are being martyred for the things of God, people who have been put in prison for the things of God. I don't want to diss that or not think that's significant. I believe 100, let me see here if I remember correctly, about I think it was 90,000 last year Christians were martyred for the cause of Jesus Christ. And they were in foreign countries. You denounce Jesus or you're going to be take your life. And they chose to say that Jesus is their Savior and their Lord. Will it happen in America? Well, American Christians, we got to get out of our caves and we got to get out of our comfort zone. And we don't want that to happen in America. Can it happen in America? I always say this. If God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, who had no Bible, and America, who has tons of Bible. Wow. I don't want to really go there that much, but take a moment and realize how much responsibility the Spirit of God is putting on us to become vessels and to be used for the glory of God. Let me close with this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Let's read this together. It says, but the day of the Lord, okay, that day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Man, I wish the thief would come and announce, hey, Bobby, I'm coming at your house at 2 o'clock in the morning. Be ready. I'd be ready. I just won't tell you how kind of ready I'll be, but I'll be ready. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In which the heavens, everybody say heavens, plural. I didn't know that in school, that there is more than one, in which the heavens will pass away and the great noise and the elements will melt with this kind of heat. Both the earth and the works that are in will be burned up. What we do know that he's going to purify this earth. And so the only thing you and I and the Jehovah Witnesses have in common, that this is going to be our home after he purifies it. And so that's why when that army comes back, he's going to purify and become the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. And we're going to be with Jesus day and night. There's going to be no more tears, no more crying, just nothing but worship and praise and enjoying our eternal life forever and forever and forever. Amen? Verse 11 says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? So he's telling us what kind of person we should be. In holy conduct and godliness. So what does that look like? Can I just tell you real quick? He says you put on the armor so that you can withstand all the craziness of the enemy. Prepare yourself. Be ready. Be watchful. Put that armor on every morning. Put on the spiritual. Let that be a revelation. Let it be prayer. Let it be intercession. Make sure you're ready to go out because, again, those fiery darts are real. And so is the enemy. So looking for, verse 12, looking for and hastening. In other words, you're speeding up because how many times have we said, oh, Jesus, come, man. I don't want to pay my next mortgage. Jesus, come before I have to pay my next mortgage or that debt. Or however we say it. But looking for and hastening coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, bringing on fire and elements that melt the fervent heat. Thank you, God, for just loving us and taking care of us. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Father, give me the strength and the courage to finish these thoughts. As we resume this message from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, give us more insight, give us more work, give us more understanding. What kind of people should we be? We know culture changes all the time, but God never changes. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never leave you nor forsake you. He's here to make you better, not bitter. He's here to make sure you are doing the right steps. God is a God of order. And so this morning, my prayer is that the symbol of those seven weapons that you have to win, you're a winner, you'll overcome, you are a champion. He picked you, he called you, he chose you. So we do not want any rock to take our place. From this day forward, we become salt and light to the community. Our mission field is right in front of us. When your beginnings was birthed in 1995, there were seven drug houses within a couple blocks of New Beginnings. When New Beginnings was birthed, we began to pray them out in Jesus' name. And every one of those houses that were drug houses are no longer drug houses today. Good living people live in those houses today. You do that same thing with your neighborhood. You know there's drug houses and you know there are places that are not right, but you just, in Jesus' name, you become a vessel. You become to be used by God. And you do it with the mind of Christ. You do it with the righteousness of God. And you do it with truth. And you do it with peace. You do it with faith. And you do it with the Word of God. And you do it with praying in the Spirit. The Word becomes alive in you. You take your circumstances and your difference and your difficulties and you apply the Word of God to it. And it is through the journey that breakthrough happens in your life. See, the gospel is free, but to surrender it costs a lot. You can't be in between, and you can't half measure, half heart. Either you're in or you're out. That's why he says, I don't want you lukewarm. I either want you on fire or I want you cold. But lukewarm, I don't want you. That means you're just kind of going through the ropes and you're just going through the system. And whatever's going on in your life, you always run to God. He's got the wisdom, the knowledge, and the source to fix it. We don't suppress, we don't hide, we don't run. We just say, God, here I am. He'll make you better. And when you come through it, you give him all the glory and all the honor. Would you stand with me this morning? And as you stand with me, I'm going to ask you just to lift your hands for a moment. Jesus is coming. Only the Father knows. He's given us signs of the times.